Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. Thank you, British lady, for your normal salty entrance. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars 4-4-6-22. Hoping everybody out there listening is doing better than fantastic and is having a wonderful week despite all the world's woes that we're getting. So, we all know what we're here for tonight. So I am going to fight. Ooh, you hear that clanking beer bottle just then? I am going to fight the sketchy back door at Atwell Manor and set my malt beverages down and light my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. Smoking a Perdomo 20th anniversary tonight. Perdomo's a pretty good safe bet when it comes down to cigars. Good $8 smoke. Can't go wrong with them. Nevertheless, we are going to pass it around to our lovely, wonderful, and most esteemed panelists tonight. So, starting off, in that fine state of Arkansas, the wonderful, the awesome, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Well, I'm doing well, Dave. You know, we got back from our lustrous, wonderful weekend and WrestleMania weekend. We got back Monday afternoon, and yesterday I pretty much just kind of catnapped off and on most of the day. I was just trying to catch up on sleep.
Yeah,
but
I'm good.
I'm good. I have a lot of fun stories, experiences, whatever you want to call it, to share tonight with you and all the listeners out there on Pop Culture Stars. And you know, it was a interesting experience.
Outstanding. Well, yeah, we've been looking forward to hearing everything you got for us and everything, because I know you had to have a good time. So before we get on to Granny Fest, I'm going to kick it around to the east a little further to my good brother getting in the class right as the bell was ringing. Tim, what's up, buddy?
No kidding, man. If we were back in high school, you'd have been the teacher right there, like shutting the door as I slid my way into the classroom. I'm
you're
doing
going,
wonderful.
I don't feel tardy.
Right? Yes, but dare I say I am outstanding the supernatural. I don't even know if Todd's on, but I'll steal his line again. No, I just spent
steal his line tonight.
I had a wonderful evening. My mom took us out to eat. In a town a bit north of us, about a half hour away, it's a place called the Angry Donkey. I think it's just kind of I'll call it a hole in the wall, not really a hole in the wall. It's a nice restaurant, nice establishment, but it's not a chain. So put in a little break, I'd be late. So for all the listeners out there, I was texting the green room staff that I might not be here on time. But nonetheless, we just pulled the drive. I dialed in. I'm changing clothes as we speak, so yes, it sounds like it's going to be Granny Fest tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing all about it, so might as well get it going.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and I appreciate you joining us this evening very much. Now, without further ado, as we all know that our wonderful Granny Hulkster had an adventure this week, not kind of like the Frodo adventure, but like an adventure. Headed off to Dallas, Texas, where unfortunately the Cowboys reside. Those nasty, nasty Cowboys. Nevertheless, that's what WrestleMania was.
I like to call them the Cowgirls.
The Cowgirls, absolutely. Yes, every time I hear something about the city of Dallas, it's kind of like the same little thing you get whenever your mother-in-law brings that big 5-pound meatloaf out of the oven and you haven't eaten all day, and you're like, oh, God, what I wouldn't do for a fish stick right now. Nevertheless, WrestleMania was this weekend in the fine city of Dallas, and our own Granny Hulkster was there. So without further ado, drum roll, please. Granny.
Well,
tell us what went down.
Okay. Well, let's see here. We got away about 10:15 Thursday morning or so. Went out and had my friend Brian, who I'm going to give a big shout out to again. You know, for him, you know, getting the tickets and allowing us to have a very wonderful experience that David and Anthony and I have never experienced ever before. He got into town Wednesday afternoon and spent the night at my son's apartment, and we got up bright and early Thursday morning, went and had some breakfast, got away about 10:15, and I did all the driving. I mean, you know, going through Oklahoma, that was not a problem. But, man, when I hit Texas, oh, my God, those roads, those people, I guess if you lived there all the time, you would get used to how everybody drives. But, you know, kind of like that one shuffle song, guys, you know, to the right, to the right, to the left, right kick. Well, that's the way I felt. Because you'd get in one lane and the GPS, like, you know, in a quarter mile, go to the right, or in a quarter mile or half mile, go to the left. I mean, it was, and sometimes people would let you over in time, and sometimes they wouldn't. And, you know, you're trying to get over, and, I mean, and it was funny because every time I would miss a turn and it would reroute, it actually ended up making the distance shorter than what it was when we were originally going the way we were going, which is kind of weird. But we got checked in Thursday afternoon to the hotel, and one of our good friends was going to be part of a wrestling show. It was called Control Your Narrative. It was Adam Scheer and EC3's promotion. You know, Adam Scheer, of course, was known as Braun Strowman when he wrestled for the WWE. And so we went pretty much straight over there to the venue. And we were waiting in line, and I saw one of my friends, and he was helping work, you know, working the event, you know, seating people, whatever he was doing. And he acted like he wasn't going to come give me a hug. I said, "Will, you better get your butt over here." I said, "Will, all day, get your butt over here and give Granny a hug." I said, "I need a hug because I tell you, I was stressing so bad. I was so excited to see somebody I knew." I said, "Oh, my God." Like crazy, or, you know. And then I saw another wrestler that I knew. He was waiting in line. I ran down to the end of the line and gave him a hug. And we got into the building, and we were sitting in our seats, you know, of course. And thank God I had my walker with me all week. I got one of those walkers, you know, that's got the seats on it, you know. So thank God I got my I had my walker, because I tell you, all the walking we did, oh, my God, I would not have made it this weekend, I don't think, if I didn't have that with me. But so we watched the show. Awesome event. I got to see a lot of my wrestling friends that I hadn't seen for a while, made a lot of new wrestling friends. Met a guy from England, met a guy from Germany. And then at the end of the show, I met two guys from Ireland, and they came running over to me. "Oh, we think you were absolutely amazing. You were awesome. You're our hero. Can we get our picture with you?" And, of course, I didn't have my granny shirt with me because we had pretty much, like I said, went straight to the venue from the hotel. But people actually even recognized me as Granny Hulkster without my granny shirt. Guys, I mean, that's how funny this was. So, Austin Aries was there. He was in a match, and
everybody always recognizes the heels, Granny.
Well, I'm not a heel, Tim. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Timothy. But anyway, so I was talking to Austin Aries, and you know, he, you know, was selling some of his merchandise and stuff. And so Anthony and David, they were standing talking to someone. I think they were talking to my friend Brian, our friend Brian. And I was kind of telling Austin about, you know, Anthony's situation. Well, he motioned for Anthony to come over, and he took his picture with Anthony, which I finally got all the pictures posted on Facebook, finally, after I don't know how many pictures I took all weekend long, but took his picture with Anthony and didn't even charge us for the picture, which I thought was really cool. I mean, he made Anthony feel, like, really important, really special. And so, and then after the show, we got our picture taken with EC3 and Adam, which was really awesome. Got our picture taken with Al Snow. Al Snow was there watching the show. And, of course, I had not gotten the opportunity to meet Al when he was in Hot Springs, but a friend of mine had gotten an autographed picture and sent it to me. And so I told him, you know, introduced myself to him. He says, oh, yes, Granny. He says, Burger Chef told me all about you. And he says, I'm sorry you didn't get to make it to Hot Springs. I said, yes, that was very disappointing. So Thursday night was a blast. We got back to the hotel, found this neat little donut. It was called the Donut House. It was like a little hole-in-the-wall joint really close to our motel where we were staying at in Hearst, Texas, at the America's Best Value Inn. Little sweet Oriental man. He's had the business about 14 years. And we went and had breakfast there. And, I mean, they had croissants. They had the pigs in a blanket. They had the smoked sausage, the spicy smoked sausage with the jalapeno and cheddar. They even served, for breakfast or lunch, Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. And they had breakfast burritos. Of course, then they had the donuts. Well, we ate breakfast there every morning because the hotel wasn't doing breakfast because of COVID still. So we ate there every morning when we started our day. You know, we ate there every morning. Sweet little man. I mean, just as nice as could be. And we gave him a really good review on his little donut shop, you know, and everything. And so Friday, we kind of drove down to the Fairmont Hotel where WrestleCon was going to be, and we walked around and looked around there. And because we weren't going to go to WrestleCon until, you know, Saturday morning. And then we drove over to AT&T Stadium, kind of get the feel of where AT&T Stadium was, you know, for WrestleMania on Sunday night when we went. And we went and had some lunch and just kind of, and then Friday night we went back to the hotel and watched SmackDown. And then they naturally had the Hall of Fame after SmackDown Friday night, which was kind of cool, you know. So they had a sellout crowd for SmackDown. You couldn't have got in just to see the Hall of Fame even if you wanted to. I think they had a sold-out crowd Friday night. So Saturday, WrestleCon, okay. So we get there to the hotel. We go over there early, about 7:30. We get there about 7:30 so we could get a good parking spot right in front of the hotel. I walk in the door. First person I see is Ricky Morton. He had just finished breakfast, you know, and he was going up to his room to, you know, get ready for WrestleCon. And he says, Granny, he gave me a hug. Then I saw Robert Gibson, and, you know, he's like, Granny, baby, how you doing? Are you Arkansas? You know, he comes and gives us all hugs and everything. So we had ordered our tickets online. We got our armbands or wristbands, you know, and because I had my walker, I couldn't go up the escalator, obviously. So we went up in the elevator, you know, and everything. And we walk in the one room, and my friend Brian, he wanted to get Kurt Angle's picture and everything, a picture with Kurt Angle. So we did that, and we got in line to meet Jeff Hardy. Well, Rikishi comes walking by. Well, I'm friends with Rikishi on Facebook. So he's like, Granny Garden, how you doing? You know, good to see you here. You know, gave me a hug and everything. And so we're standing there, and we get inside, and Teddy Long comes out, you know, to take a quick break before he got his day started. And he was standing in line talking to us. You know, I saw my good friend Lance Archer, who used to be Lance Hoyt back when traditional championship wrestling was running in Arkansas, and he remembered who I was, so it was cool getting to see him. He said, when are you coming to AEW, Granny? He says, we got a show in Garland, like, next week. And I said, well, when are you coming to Arkansas? I said, you come to Arkansas, I'd be more apt to be able to come up to AEW in Arkansas than I would, you know, Texas. So he said, well, I'm sure we will be. He says, just kind of keep watching. And I said, well, I will, you know. So it was good to see him, you know, and everything. So we get, you know, we're standing there in line and stuff. And we finally get in the room, and we go over and get our picture taken with Ted DiBiase and IRS, you know, it was Money, Inc. They were together at a table, we got our pictures with them together. And, of course, Boogeyman was there, and Anthony had to do his Boogeyman impersonation for him, and he really loved it. It was kind of funny. There was a girl getting her picture with Boogeyman. Well, he picked her up and was holding her in his arms, and she was holding his big clock, you know, that he wears around his neck. Well, all of a sudden, he goes running out of the room into the hallway carrying this girl in his arms. It was so funny. And then he puts her down, and he goes back in. And then we make our way over, and we got to meet Jeff Hardy, got our picture with Jeff Hardy. And I did the combo thing where I gave Anthony the autographed picture, and then all three of us got our picture with Jeff Hardy, which was really cool. He was really, really super nice. We were talking, and Anthony and David were just kind of waiting for me, and I was talking to him for a few minutes, and I noticed he had an autism awareness, you know, bracelet, one of those rubber bracelets, you know, on his wrist, and I kind of told him about Anthony, you know, and he gave me a hug, and he said, well, God bless you, Granny. He says, you have a very nice young man there for a son, and you seem like a really good mom, and, you know, God bless you and your family, and I'll be, you know, praying for you. I'll be thinking of y'all. And he was really sweet, really sincere. Then we got to meet Brooke Hogan. And she's like, I love that shirt, Granny. She says, all you need now is a yellow mustache. And she was super nice. I mean, you know, we got our picture with her and, you know, the photo thing, the combo thing. And she says, I am definitely going to have to tell my dad about you. I was hoping she would have had time to FaceTime her dad, but, you know, just people were coming in, you know, and so I knew she was going to be busy. But then we met Lex Luger. Bless his heart, I tell you, you know, he's in a wheelchair now. He's been in a wheelchair for quite some time. But he signed Anthony's championship belt that he had, and we got our picture with him and everything, and so that was really cool, and he was just very, very sincere, very, very nice, you know, just, and, you know, he loved my shirt. So we're, like, going down, and we go to the big room where, like, everybody's at. And the first person I see when I walk in the door is the Godfather. You know, of course, he also wrestled under the name of Papa Shango. He saw my shirt, and he says, Granny Hulkster. He says, I like that. That's awesome. Well, all the professional wrestlers that we saw absolutely loved my shirt. And, of course, the ones that I knew personally, that was, you know, Colt Cabana, he had to take a picture of me in my shirt. You know, that was pretty cool. Anthony wanted to meet Lita and Trish, but their lines were so long. But we did get to meet Lillian Garcia, and she was as sweet as could be. We did the combo, and then I gave Anthony $20 so he could get her CD, and she autographed the CD for him. So he saw Lita talking to Lillian Garcia, And he said, Lita, you know, and he held up the fingers, you know, like Lita does, and she acknowledged him, and she winked at him and smiled at him, so that really made him happy. My friend Brian, you know, he wanted to meet Adam Cole, so he met Adam Cole. I got to talk to Jungle Boy. I got to talk to Christian Cage. I got to see my good friend Nikki James, and I got to talk to her husband Nick Aldis, which was really cool. She says, Granny, how are you? I haven't seen you in so long. And I said, yeah, it's been a while, you know, like 2012. And so Nick, he told me, and of course, you know, he has that accent, you know, when he talks, and he said, well, you know, Granny, you'd be heartbroken if you had to booby. And I said, no, I wouldn't. And he said, well, I'm definitely going to have to tell Tim Storm and Trevor Murdoch that I met the world-famous Granny Hulkster. So then we met Tommy Wildfire Rich, was awesome, was really awesome. I got to talk to Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Heath Slater. I got to see Carlito and Chris Adonis again, and they both remembered me from TCW, which was really cool. I had this one wrestler, they called him Extreme Tiger. He was like a lucha wrestler, you know, because he wore the mask. He says, oh, that shirt is awesome. He says, can I get my picture with you? And he had the girl that was helping him at the table take our picture together, and I didn't get a chance to get my phone out in time to get a picture of all of us together. But he wanted a picture with Granny, which I thought was really cool. I got to talk to, you know, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Jeff and Karen Jarrett. I got to talk to them. I saw Chavo Guerrero Jr. again, saw Chavo again. He remembered me. So got to talk to Vicky Guerrero for a few minutes. And of course, I got to go see my good friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan and his lovely wife, Deborah. So, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, the beautiful people, they loved my shirt. They thought it was absolutely amazing. Rosemary, you know, Matt Cardona was there, Chelsea Green, they thought, you know, everybody thought my shirt was awesome. And the funny thing was, I was having people walk by me the whole time, like, they'd point me out, they'd say, look at that lady in that yellow shirt, isn't that awesome? You know, I mean, it was pretty fun. But what was really fun was the people from Fight TV were there, you know, doing interviews and things like that. They actually interviewed me on Fight TV, which I thought was really cool. So
yeah, that's cool as hell.
But I posted the video. They had it on YouTube because this little boy came up to me after we got downstairs, and he says, excuse me, ma'am. He says, I don't mean to bother you, but he says, I have to tell you, I saw your video from Fight TV, and you were absolutely awesome and absolutely amazing, and I just had to tell you that. And I said, well, thank you. So when I got home, I found the video, so I posted the video thing, and it's like 6 hours and a minute that they videotaped, you know, different things throughout the day. And my interview is about like at 4 hours and 50 minutes, you know, so if you scroll down to about 4:50, you'll see my interview. And then a few minutes later after that, they were talking to the guy that interviewed me, and they mentioned my name again. And it was funny because the guy's name was Schmo or something like that. And he says, well, look at your shirt. You know, he says, I admire all the John Hancocks. And he asked me who my favorite person was or who my most famous was. And I said, I don't want to leave anybody out, or I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I said, I've got a lot of autographs on here. So I said, I'm not going to rule out one particular person. But I named certain people that I liked. And he's like, well, do you wash that thing? I said, yeah, I wash it. I wash my shirt. And I said, it's still in pretty good condition. I said, I've had this gimmick name for close to 20-plus years. And it was just, you know, WrestleCon was really interesting. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we went back to the hotel and, you know, got some lunch and went back to the hotel and we watched first night of WrestleMania, you know, and from the hotel room and, you know, went to bed early because we had, you know, we knew we were going to have a long day on Sunday, but it was pretty awesome. I mean, it was, you know, Anthony and David, they both had a good time and we all had a lot of fun. It was, needless to say, it was really interesting. So I'm going to take a breather. If you guys got any questions, I'm going to let you guys ask for a few minutes. And so if you got any questions.
Absolutely. Or catch your breath, to drink a water or something a little stronger possibly, because as we discussed before the show started, talking for a solid 20 minutes is harder than hell. And, you know, even for folks like myself that can talk to a fire hydrant, it is. You don't realize there are sometimes we get done with the show here and I'll go in and I'm like, damn, man, my whole neck hurts and everything else, because you don't realize, you know, you get to shooting the breeze. I don't know how Rush done it for all those years. I mean, done it. All these guys that have the talk shows and they talk for, you know, 2 and 3 hours straight. It's like, Christ, how do they do it, man? I understand the long commercial breaks now, but yeah, get you a sip of water and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, it's good to see. It sounds like you had a great time and all the names you were throwing out there. My goodness, there is a ton of them.
And of course, I didn't get to talk, obviously, to everybody there, you know, at WrestleCon, I mean, obviously, but it was just really, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan and you've never experienced anything like that, I mean, you really should at least once in your life. I mean, you should go to a WrestleMania once in your life, go to a WrestleCon once in your life. Now, you know, of course they have access, you know, but in my opinion, I mean, access, they charge you a lot more money, but because, like, my friend that we went with, I mean, this was his ninth WrestleMania, so he's very experienced in what goes on, you know, what happens. And, you know, he used to wrestle for NXT on a couple of different occasions back in the day before he got hurt, so he knows a lot of the WWE superstars. And so, you know, and he says access is okay, but he said WrestleCon, you get the opportunity to get more in that one-on-one interaction with whoever you're talking to.
Right, right. And a lot of times your opinion will change. You know, what's the old saying that be careful of meeting your heroes. They may disappoint you.
A lot of times,
you'll go to these shows, and there are people that, and especially, I know, you know, with me and the books and everything, whenever what you don't see about a con is I have a habit just out of my years in retail and grocery is I always get there early. I get everything set up. And it's one of those things where prepare for the worst, hope for the best, you know, when you're doing it. And in the event you get there, a habit I developed is I get there early, I set up. If everything falls into place, which rarely happens, usually you have, you know, a banner that doesn't want to work correctly or, you know, something, you know, you forgot to pack something and you have to run down to the Dollar General and grab it. But what I always do is when I get everything set up and I feel good about where I'm at, I go work the room and I offer help to some of the other people. And that's how I ended up hitting it off with a lot of the people that I'm dear friends with now that I never would have met. I could have stood there by my table with my thumb up my ass and just stared at the wall for, you know, an hour. But instead, you know, walked around going, hey, you know, I got some two-sided tape that'll hold that down. Hey, you need this. Hey, you need that. It's a good icebreaker, you know, but behind the scenes, that is that time that you spend going out there and meeting the people that you want to meet. Because, you know, when the doors open up, you got to be there panhandling your book series. You know what I mean? You can't be walking around sightseeing. So there are guys that I have met where it's like, man, I can't wait to meet this guy. And I met him, and I'm like, damn, you know, I probably could have held off with that, you know. But then there's other ones, and I always use Jerry Lawler for this example. I never liked Jerry Lawler. Couldn't stand him when he was a wrestler. Didn't like his announcing. Just did not like the guy. And for what reason, I don't know. He just never, kind of like broccoli. I don't have anything against broccoli. I just don't like the way it tastes. But I had the opportunity to meet Lawler 3 years ago, and man, I totally changed my opinion. What a cool guy. I mean,
yeah. I've met Jerry Lawler. Matter of fact, he was actually there, and Stacy Carter, who was Jerry Lawler's ex-wife, you know, they were actually at the same table, you know, and I got to talk to her for a few minutes, and of course, I got to see Booker T again. I got to see Ron Simmons. I got to meet JBL. And I said, JBL, I said, you and I have a mutual friend. And he says, oh, well, who's that, Granny? I said, James Beard. I said, I've got his book at home that he wrote. And I said, I've read it 4 times. And I said, I always love the chapters when he's talking about you. And Ron asked me, he said, well, how you been, Granny? And I said, well, I've been good. I said, busy, you know, and he said, Granny, he says, how long ago was that when you and when we met, when Tony Atlas and I met you and your husband? I said, oh, probably about 3 or 4 years ago in Roblin, Oklahoma, at a Cherokee casino. He says, that's right. So I saw Booker T, and he says, Granny, how you doing? I said, he came up and gave me a hug, you know, and I said, I'm good. So when I was talking to Ron Simmons, JBL, he says, Granny, he said, go down and tell Booker T to give you anything you want and tell them that John and Ron said so. Down there, and I told Booker, I said, Booker, I got a message for you from Ron Simmons and JBL. He says, oh, what's that, Granny? I said, well, they said to tell you that you're supposed to give me anything I want for free, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is. And he says, well, you tell those boys they better get their butt down here. Well, when I went back, they were already gone because I know JBL had to do some sort of special thing, and I think Ron Simmons did too, you know. So they were already gone, but it was funny because I never got the chance to make it back to talk to Booker anymore because he had quite a few people in his line too. But what was really cool for Anthony was he was standing there talking to some people, and we met Brian Pillman Jr., X-Pac, you know, 1-2-3 Kid, you know, Sean Waltman. We got to meet Enzo and Taft, got to meet Eric Redbeard, and he wrestled Thursday night at Controlling Your Narrative show that we were at Thursday night, so we got to meet Eric Redbeard. He was really not super nice. And
really? Wow.
I don't care much for Enzo. I never have been a big Enzo fan, but Big Cass was all right.
Yeah, now has Enzo cleared up all of his trouble, or is he still?
I don't know. I don't know about Enzo. Enzo, he's kind of an odd character, but
yeah.
What was
I
really
agree.
Cool for Anthony was Eddie Edwards was getting ready to leave, and he was there, I guess, with his wife, Alicia, and he was getting ready to leave, and he stopped and took the time to do a picture with him and Anthony together, and Anthony put that on his profile picture on Facebook, which I thought was really cool. He took the time to get it, you know, take his picture with Anthony, which I thought was really cool. And, of course, I saw my good friend Fuego de Sol, who wrestles for AEW. And I saw one of my independent wrestling friends. His name's Gideon Vain. He's from Oklahoma. I saw him there. He was there with Fuego and helping Fuego do some stuff. And I said, Fuego, I got a question to ask you. I said, you wrestle for AEW? And he says, yeah. I said, well, we're here with a good friend of ours from New York. And he was flying into Kansas City for his grandfather's funeral. I said, now, he knows MJF personally. I mean, he used to babysit Maxwell when Maxwell was a kid. You know, they were neighbors. But Maxwell was at the airport with a couple other AEW guys. And he asked my friend, he says, hey, bro, he says, do you know a lady in Arkansas by the name of Granny Hulkster? Brian says, yeah, she's a personal friend of mine. He says, how do you know about Granny? And he says, word of mouth. And that's all he said. So I asked Fuego, I said, were you the one who told MJF about me? He says, no, Granny, it wasn't me. He says, honest. I said, okay, now inquiring minds want to know, because somehow MJF has found out about Granny Hulkster, and I'm not sure exactly how, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing. But so we were downstairs, and David and I had went downstairs to go. We wanted to watch the rest of that wrestling show that they were doing. They did a free wrestling show when you bought your ticket to WrestleCon, and we got in on the last match. It was called USA versus the World, and it was Rich Swann versus this guy from, he was a black wrestler. He was from Britain or the UK or something. Anyways, that was an awesome match. Well, Anthony had went back upstairs. He had seen this bracelet that had like a WWE belt design. It was like the spinner belt, you know, that you used to see on WWE back in the day. Uh-huh. So this bracelet had a little WWE spinner thing on it. So Anthony bought it, and he was talking to Fuego and Gideon Vain. And I guess Gideon told Anthony, he says, well, you better tell your mom that she better behave herself. She gets into more trouble than I do. And I said, I don't think so. And Anthony said Fuego just stood there and listened to the conversation and was just smiling the whole time. And, you know, and so he says, well, tell your mom that I said that she needs to behave herself, you know, and all this other. I mean, him and Anthony were having fun roasting the heck out of me. I don't know what all was said in the conversation. So we're all downstairs, and we're getting ready to leave the hotel, and we see Rikishi again, you know, and everything, and we got our picture with Rikishi out in the lobby, which was really cool, and got to see my good friend Chaz Taylor, Tugboat Taylor's son, Chaz, got our picture with him, and I got to see Adam again. I said, now, Adam, this is what my granny shirt looks like, and he says, Granny Hulkster, that is cool. Give me a hug, Granny. I, you know, didn't get a picture of him with me again, you know, in my granny shirt because he was getting ready to go somewhere. He had to be somewhere, an appearance or something, you know. I don't know what was all going on, but he had to leave. But so I did get my picture with him Thursday night, which was cool, you know. So, but that was the extent about Saturday's day. I mean, you know. Mr. Tim, do you have any questions? You're being awful quiet over there.
I know, and I'm plugging away, doing an update on my computer and listening to you at the same time. I had a couple of thoughts earlier, and I kind of forget what they were, and I was just going to let you keep talking away. Seems to me like I had a question about one of your second nights there to clarify, but I'll think of it later. You keep going for now. I know you need your breaks, you need your water breaks, but you keep going, and I'll chime in when appropriate.
So, anyways, so we go back to the hotel, and we watch first night of WrestleMania and everything, and like WrestleMania Saturday night had like 77,000 plus people there. Of course, the big match of the night was Kevin Owens and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they actually had an actual wrestling match. And Steve Austin beat him. And, you know, Kevin Owens made the comment that he definitely has a lot more respect now for Stone Cold Steve Austin, because he was really kind of surprised that Stone Cold Steve Austin was as good a shape as he was, considering it's been 19 years since he's wrestled. And of course, the other surprise of the night was Cody Rhodes coming back. He wrestled against Seth Rollins.
So was that what you, Steve Austin? You said it was a real match.
Just supposed to be the KO show, the Kevin Owens show. And he was going to interview Austin, and, you know, I guess Kevin thought, well, he'll probably give me a couple stunners and, you know, crash his can of beers and that'll be it. No, it turned into an actual, I mean, he took him out of the ring, he took him into the crowd. I mean, it was, you know, it ended up turning out to be an actual match. So.
Gotcha. And it'd been how long? When you said that, I was thinking because I'm not as savvy on the wrestling stuff as you guys. You know that. You all know that about me. But I definitely know the name.
It's been 19 years since Austin's had a match.
Really? Okay, because as soon as you said that, I was thinking to myself, that dude is still going? I was like, I thought he is. I mean, not that I know anything about it, but I figured he'd been around for a while, and I'm like, man, I didn't realize he was, like, still out there doing this. So, that threw me.
So Sunday, we get up, and we had breakfast, and we went to the hotel, and I went to the donut shop and had breakfast, and then we headed to the stadium, and we went to Walmart for a little bit because they weren't going to open the gates until like 1:30. So we went and walked around Walmart a little bit. There was a Walmart Supercenter right across from AT&T Stadium, so we walked around there for a little bit. And, well, I didn't walk. I rode in one of those electric carts because I can't walk the whole entire store anymore like I used to be able to without getting tired out. But so we get to the stadium, and we asked this girl. She had a black lab, like a service dog. And I said, so where's the handicap parking? And I said, I'm going to need handicap parking. She says, well, you can go into lot one or lot two, and they'll take your money there for parking, blah, 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 blah. Well, needless to say, lot one was only for permits. And so I took out extra cash, you know, out of the ATM because I thought, well, you know, I could just pay for things with cash. Well, right now, because of COVID, they do a cashless, I mean, you have to use your card for everything. I mean, they don't accept cash for anything. I mean, it's all, you have to put it all on your card, which kind of is inconvenient. But so this lady named Lindsay, and I want to give a really big shout out to Lindsay. I don't know if she was like a supervisor. I explained the situation, explained to her what I was told. She says, well, let me help you. And she says, you follow me. So she led me to a different parking lot and got me in a handicapped spot, like right close to the gate where we could walk in. So we're sitting under this little tent, you know, waiting for the gate to open, and they finally open the gate, and then we have to go sit in this little area to wait for the doors to open at 4:30. Well, I told them, I said, I'm going to need wheelchair assistance, because I said, I can't walk. You know, I left my walker in the vehicle, because where we were going to be sitting at, I knew I probably couldn't even get it up there, up the steps. So I just took my cane with me, and I said, I'm going to need wheelchair assistance. Well, finally, two and a half hours later, they finally come and get me you know, with the wheelchair, and they pushed me into the door, and yeah, we're getting to go ahead of all these people, which was kind of nice, you know, and they get me to the area where our seats are going to be, and I have to walk up about 10 steps with my cane, which was not bad, but if my knee had been hurting more than what it was that day, it could have been a bad situation. So we're sitting there, and people are coming in, and, you know, and it's getting closer to the show starting. The show was supposed to start at 6:30. And my friend, you know, he got to looking down in this section where it was close to the ring, and he's like, oh, something is not right here. So he started messaging people that he knew, you know, within the business. And so him and I, we walked down the steps, and we talked to this one guy, and the kid says, well, my supervisor's down this hallway here. And I told Brian, I said, well, you go down and talk to him. I can't walk that far. I'm going to go back and sit with David and Anthony. So, you know, he kept telling the people at the event center that I was his aunt and that I had medical problems, which I do. I have a pacemaker. I've had 2 knee replacements. You know, I'm a borderline diabetic. He says, if something were to happen, you're not going to be able to get a gurney up to her to get her out of there. Is there any way that we could, you know, get on the floor level? I mean, we didn't want to be, you know, exactly by the ring, but I mean, you know, on the floor level in case something would have happened, you know, just, he's, well, that's out of my control. Well, he went downstairs to the lower level, and he went back to where the talent was, you know, because he knows a lot of those wrestlers. I mean, he's worked as an extra for WWE. He was a wrestler for NXT 2 different times. So he knows these people. I mean, he's been friends with The Miz for like 14 years. So anyways, they were saying, hey, how are you? Where are you sitting at? And he said, oh, we're in the upper level. He says, I'm here with, you know, Granny and, you know, her husband and her son, you know. And, of course, they've all heard about Granny, you know, through him. And Sasha Banks was like, she says, how long did she have to wait for her wheelchair? And he says, over 2.5 hours. She says, oh, that ain't right. She says, somebody's losing their job today. Well, rumor had it, and I don't know because I didn't see this for a fact, but a lot of people were sitting outside watching the kickoff show. Well, I heard Vince got a little upset and threw his headset down because people were not getting inside the building to get ready for the show. And, of course, Michael Hayes, you know, he's over production, you know, and everything. And he's like, well, nobody wants to piss me off today, you know. So I guess actually they had to make an announcement to start getting people into the door. Like, you don't get in your seat within the next 5 minutes. We're going to start reassigning seats to other people. And you will not be refunded on your money on your ticket. Because obviously for WrestleMania or any big wrestling event, you don't want empty seats. You know,
right.
Close space in the camera, obviously. So he finally, you know, he finally got back up, and I guess his friend Miz had messaged him and stuff, and he wasn't even at the stadium Sunday because he had wrestled Saturday night, so he was spending time with his wife and his daughters, obviously, which is what he needed to do, and he made the statement to my friend. He said, well, if I'd been there, I would have tried to help you all get, you know, lower-level seats. Now, the funny thing is my friends from Oklahoma that were actually at WrestleMania, they were in the upper level section like we were, and something got messed up on his seats. They actually got to take care of the problem that whatever happened. I don't know if they double booked his seats to somebody else or what happened, but they weren't in the floor section close to the ring, but you had all the seats that were close to the ring. Then you had a walking area. Then you had like the metal banister, and then you had floor seats behind that. Well, they actually got to get to move to the floor and watch the show, which I was happy for them, but I would have liked to not had to set up in them. I mean, but really, I mean, if you go to my Facebook and look at the pictures,
Yeah, I took
the pictures from the big screen, and they actually turned out decent. you know, all things considering. Well, so, of course, they had the first match was RK-Bro, the Street Profits, and Alpha Academy, which was an awesome match. And Randy and Matt Riddle actually won that match. And Chad Gable, he's like, he's in the ring and he's out on the floor talking to this black guy. And he was some sort of Olympic gold medalist guy or something. Well, that guy gets over the banister and gets in the ring with Chad Gable. And Chad Gable's starting to talk with the microphone. So that black guy, and I don't remember his name now, but he grabbed that mic out of his hand, and Randy Orton's like, "Whoa, look what he did!" You know? Well, this black guy, he grabs Chad Gable and puts him like in a bear hug, you know, starts body slamming him in the ring. And then they had the women's match between Sasha Banks and Naomi against Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan against Natalya and Shayna Baszler and Carmella and Queen Selena. Well, Sasha and Naomi won that match and everything, so that was cool. Then the match was between the New Day and Sheamus and whatever that guy's name is that wrestles with Sheamus, and I'm not familiar with him, but that match didn't last very long. Sheamus, they won that match. But one of the funniest matches was Johnny Knoxville against Sami Zayn. Oh, my God. I mean, he had a table set up that had the little tiny mouse traps all over it. But I got several pictures of him putting this giant mouse trap in the ring. And he sets off that giant mouse trap and Sami Zayn gets caught in that giant mouse trap. It was funny. This little midget guy came in. This little midget guy came in and picked up Sami Zayn and body slammed him, and you know, it was hilarious. Then they had the match.
How much of this is televised?
I'm sorry?
How much of that is televised?
Oh, I'm sure pretty much all of it. I mean, because it's on WrestleMania. I haven't watched. I want to now that I'm home, and I want to go down to Anthony's one night because he's got the WWE Network on Peacock, and I want to actually sit and watch both nights, you know, to see what I actually might have missed from actually being there live on Sunday, you know.
That's funny you mentioned Johnny Knoxville doing that. I wouldn't have thought. I didn't think it's funny he was there. I wouldn't think that that's a normal part of the show, but more of a, you know, like, and you'll have to pardon my ignorance. I always say this because I don't know how these shows usually go, but I would think that bringing somebody like him in would be kind of like a sideshow type thing that wouldn't necessarily make it to TV time. You know, like if you go to this isn't a real good analogy, but I tend to think of it as kind of like if you go to maybe an NBA game or a football game, you've got time to where there are commercial breaks or whatever, and they're doing stupid stuff on the court. They're doing, you know, halftime shows. They're doing whatever. So I was just kind of curious if maybe Johnny Knoxville doing his thing or something like that.
I'm sure that it was actually part of WrestleMania because, I mean, it lasted a good probably 15, 20 minutes, give or take. But and then they had the match between Pat McAfee and Austin Theory. And of course,
Pat McAfee, the guy that
I mean, he actually had a match with Austin Theory.
You've got to be kidding me. Oh my God.
He beats Austin Theory, and of course Vince McMahon, he's sitting out there watching his golden boy, Austin Theory, wrestle this match. Well, then Vince McMahon actually takes off the shirt, takes off the tie, and he gets in the ring and tries to have a match with McAfee. Of course, Vince ended up winning. Well, then all of a sudden, Anthony says to Brian, he says, you know what? He says, I bet Stone Cold's going to come out again. And just no sooner than Anthony said that, you hear the smashing glass, the music, and here comes Stone Cold walking down the ramp. I mean, you know, the old saying goes, then the crowd goes wild. I think that crowd could have blown the roof off of AT&T Stadium when Austin show was there two nights in a row. And he put Vince in a stunner. He put Austin Theory in a stunner. He ended up putting Pat McAfee in a stunner. You know, that they're throwing at him his cans of beer, and he's smashing his cans of beer like he always does, you know. And then they had, of course, the main event with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, which, you know, Roman ended up winning, obviously, and getting both title belts. But it was, see, Sunday's attendance was 78,453 people. It was about a little 1,000 more people than what was in attendance on Saturday.
Good God.
So
you got to figure by the time you tack in the vendors and the staff. 80,000 people.
And my God, the prices of stuff, too. I mean, we were sitting outside. I went and got, because I had to take my medicine, my Aunt Anthony had to take his medicine. I went and got 4 bottles of water from one of the places in the little area where they had food trucks set up and stuff. $5.50 for a bottle of water.
Yeah, I believe it.
So, and we got our picture taken by this one guy, and I had the little card, and I pulled it up on their website, and I saw the picture. And you could actually order pictures from this website thing. You know, they take fans' pictures and stuff like that. You know, so we get over, and the lady comes. A different lady came to get me in the wheelchair to take us back to the car. And, or take us back out the building. So anyways, and I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, we came in gate G. Well, she was taking me out, gate D. And I'm like, ma'am, this is not the right door. I need, you know, I'm telling you, this is not the right door. And she says, oh, you'll be fine. This is where I need to take you. I said, no, ma'am. It was like she took me out a door that was on the opposite side of the stadium of the way we came in.
Oh, geez.
And they had this pit set up where they were having people being taken to their vehicles back by golf carts and things like that, you know. And so we finally get in the golf cart, and the man says, well, where are you parked at? I said, well, sir, I said, I'm not exactly sure. I said, I thought I was supposed to be in lot 4, but then they moved us to a different area. And I said, I'm not sure what lot we're actually in because I didn't look when we got there. I didn't look to see what lot number it was. I mean, I honestly didn't. But I said, we're right across the street from the Walmart store. He says, okay, I know where you're at. So we got in our vehicle, and we found our vehicle and everything and got in our car and went back to the hotel like 2 hours later after, you know, it was almost 11 o'clock by the time everything got over with. And so we got back to the hotel and went to bed and got up Sunday morning, loaded up the vehicle, or Monday morning, loaded up the vehicle, had breakfast, and headed back to Arkansas. And basically that was... And long story short, that was the weekend of WrestleMania, you know?
Outstanding. You know, I was tickled to death to see that Charlotte Flair held the title. Because, you know, I know this might be a little ticky-tacky on my part, but Ronda Rousey cut line on a lot of talent. When she went into the WWE, it's like she went straight to the top. And, you know, if you look at all these lady wrestlers, and if you ask me, in the past couple of years, the lady wrestling has been so much better than men's wrestling. I mean, they go out there and they go at it. And, you know, you get Ronda Rousey, she comes in from MMA stuff and goes right to the front of the line. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of people been taking an awful lot of hair pulling and chair shots to get to that spot. And then you just walk right on in there. And if you really break down her MMA career, you know, you talk about right place, right time. You know, she didn't have a whole hell of a lot, not taking anything away from what she did. Amazing athlete. But the competition level wasn't quite where it was usually with the MMA. But for her to go straight to the top and to think they'd try to put her over on Charlotte Flair kind of got under my skin. So it was good to see that that Charlotte was able to bag it. But yeah,
what was kind of funny when my friend Brian was downstairs talking to some of the, you know, some of the talent before the show, because I had to wait like almost 30 minutes to start late to for everybody to get in from outside, you know. And so he was talking to Jimmy and Jey Uso came in. They said, "Hey, bro, how you doing? You know, Dad said he saw you Saturday with your friends." And they both said my name, Granny Hulkster, like in stereo. He says, "Oh, yeah, you're with Granny Hulkster this weekend." I mean, they both said my name at the same time, which I thought was cool. And he was talking to Dolph Ziggler, and, of course, Dolph, he wasn't, you know, in a match Sunday night, but he was just there. And he said, "Well, who are you here with?" And, you know, Brian says, "Well, I'm here with Granny and her husband and her son." He says, and Brian says, he put his hand on his chest. He says, "Oh, yes, be still, my heart, Granny Hulkster." I thought, good Lord. I mean, you know, and of course, you know, Naomi and Sasha Banks, they were like asking like where I was at. And he said, "Well, she's upstairs because she can't walk, you know, long distances because of her health, you know, and everything." And, but it was just so funny because it was just like these people actually recognize me just from, you know, just because of my friend Brian, you know. And he says, "Granny, don't be surprised." He says, "People see the people from WrestleCon and see your interview on Fight TV. They might want you to have a table next year at WrestleCon." I said, "Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know."
Yeah, I don't know where they're holding it next year. I'm not
certain. WrestleMania 39 is going to be in Los Angeles.
Oh, really? Yeah, we damn sure ain't going to be going on. Good God. You couldn't get me to go anywhere further in Las Vegas right now, the way this damn country's going. Yeah, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, good Lord. No, I'm good. Check, please. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. When those events, people don't realize how exhausting those events are when you go to them. The excitement, the just the, and like you said, the walking. And it never fails for me whenever I go to one of these big events like this. Where they want everybody to come in is always like the opposite end of where I've got to sit. It never fails. And time you get back, I mean, all the excitement, you know, jumping up and down your seat, you know, you get back to the house and you almost got to take a week off from doing, you know, and then when you factor in the driving, how long of a drive was that hour-wise?
A little over 5.5, you know, less than 6 hours. But, you know, we stopped, you know, get gas or stopped and took a, you know, get out and stretch or, you know, take a bathroom break or, you know, grab a bite to eat for lunch or whatever, you know, but so I mean, but you know, like I said, less than 6 hours, so.
Yeah, that ain't bad. 6 hours ain't bad. That's kind of my threshold time. If it's under 6 hours, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. If it starts going over 6 hours, then I'm like, all right, so who's going to help me drive? Biggest problem I have is I can't sit. So when you're driving, if you ever ride along with me, watch me, because I'm forever changing hands on the wheel, leaning to my left, leaning to my right, scratching my neck. It's like I'm one of these guys that just cannot, and that's what made me good in grocery and retail, because I'm constantly bouncing off the walls. But when you're driving, oh, man, that just sitting like that, I could never be a bus driver. I'd never make it. No way in hell.
I knew that David would not be able to drive in Dallas. I mean, I knew there was no way. So I just, you know, I thought, what the heck? I'll just do the driving. And you know. But, you know, with me having my blood clot, you know, issues, you know, I got out and made sure I stretched. Or if I was using the cruise control, I was able to sit there and kind of move my feet and my legs around, you know, in between getting out and stretching and stopping and things like that. But I mean, all in all, it was a fun weekend. Anthony just, like, he had a blast. I mean, David, you know, enjoyed it. We just got to see that one wrestling show, and then we got to see the last match of the USA versus the world, because I wanted to try to meet as many people as I could. You know, like I said, we got to meet Jake Roberts, got to talk to him for a little bit. He remembered me from TCW. Got to meet Billy Gunn. I didn't get to meet Billy Gunn's sons that were there. We got to meet Juice and Thunder Liger. He was really cool. Got to see Rodney Mack's wife, Jazz. That was really awesome. She remembered who I was. Gail Kim, I got to talk to Gail Kim. That was really awesome. I told Gail Kim, I said, I am a big fan of your husband, because her husband is Chef Robert Irvine on the Food Network channel. You know, Restaurant Impossible?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is Gail Kim's husband, Chef Robert Irvine. And I said, please tell your husband that you met a lady at WrestleCon who's a big fan of his. But I love to watch him on Guys Grocery Games and Restaurant Impossible. But, yeah, that's Gail Kim's husband. So.
Small world.
Yeah, it is. And, but like I said, Curtis Axel, I got to meet Ted DiBiase Jr. He was really super nice. Oh, my gosh. Melina was there. I mean, so many big, big, big names, you know. I talked to Bo Dallas for a few minutes. He was really awesome. Curtis Axel. I told a story, but when I got to meet Curtis Axel's sister back in Arkansas back in the early 2000s, you know, she was at an independent wrestling show in Arkansas that we went to all the time, and I got to meet his sister Amy 1 year, and she was really super nice. Tommy Wildfire Rich, he was just an absolute blast. I mean, you know, he gave me a hug and gave me a kiss on my cheek and, you know, just like, Granny, it was really awesome getting to meet you, you know, and of course, you know, seeing Ricky and Robert again, that was cool. I didn't get a chance to talk to William Regal. William Regal was there. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but so many, and they added, oh, Britt Baker was there. Adam Cole was there. I didn't get a chance to talk to Britt Baker, but I got a chance to talk to Jungle Boy. He was really awesome. Because I guess Jungle Boy asked my friend when he was waiting in line to talk to Adam Cole. He asked my friend Brian, he says, is she like for real, you know? And Brian says, yep, she said, he said, she is one of those wrestling fans that still cares about the business. And
right.
he says, wow, he need people like her at AEW. You know? But like I said, I love Jungle Boy. He's just absolutely, yeah, I wish I could have went downstairs with my friend Brian when we were at AT&T Stadium, but I'm sure that I wouldn't have been able to go back there with him, you know, because I'm not part of the talent, you know, but it sure would have been cool. Yeah. Maybe someday. Yeah, he was teasing me about getting that phone call from WWE that one of these days they'll call me and say, well, we want you to, you know, how they used to pay sign guy to sit in the audience, you know, with the signs and stuff, you know. Maybe that's
yeah.
Granny's future is to go traveling and for WWE and sitting in the crowd at WWE shows. Who knows? I mean, if you're going to dream big, you know. I mean,
That, and unfortunately, I hate like crazy to mention it because I know I've said this a couple times to Dale, is ain't none of us getting any younger. And anybody that we, you know, were watching and fans of when we were, you know, teens and 20s, obviously are getting a little long in the tooth along with us. So, you know, now, no better time than the present. Get your ass out there and go see them. And you never can tell, you know, the way things go. You know, we get so much bad news these days. So,
the funny thing is, you know, David keeps telling me, well, you and Anthony need to find up to come away, coming up, making that extra income after I officially, you know, fully retire. And I said, well, we were going to a WFC show one weekend, and I said, well, I could make up Granny Hulkster shirts and sell them at the wrestling shows and make money that way.
Hey, and people have made millions doing less. You know,
like I said, with the popularity that I got from WrestleCon this past weekend, who knows? I mean, you know, Brian says they may want you to have your own table at WrestleCon next year, Granny. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. You know, I'll believe that when I see that. But
hey,
Brian
you,
says,
you
I wouldn't think that, Granny, you know. And if that actually happened, I would absolutely, I don't know what I would do, guys. I really don't. I don't know what I would do. I would like, oh, my God, are you serious? Really? You know, are you kidding me? You know, because that would be so awesome. I mean, just because, like I said, I met all these people, and it was like, they're like, they thought I was absolutely amazing. The wrestlers that I didn't know personally, you know, like professional wrestlers that I had never met until WrestleCon, they actually loved me. I mean, they said, man, we need you at our wrestling shows, you know?
Right. You know, and
like, oh, my God, you know?
You are, I guess the word I'd use is an ambassador. It's just the people like you that keeps the flame burning. And, you know, it's, I've said it about my books a lot of times. I've already read my books. You know what I mean? I've read them a million times over. I know the first two shows I did with my books, you know, I was more starstruck than I was anything else because I'm out there like, you know, holy smokes, I'm across the way from a guy from Battlestar Galactica, and I remember watching that guy and wrestling, and I remember, you know, I see that guy at The Walking Dead, blah, blah, blah. And I was actually becoming personal friends, like you said, with some of these people. Enough to the point, like with The Walking Dead crowd, we joke all the time whenever we see one of our friends on The Walking Dead and they end up, you know, getting ate by zombies. We all send them a text. Hey, man, just saw your episode. Are you all right? You know, I think it was my third show when I had somebody actually walk up to me and said, I read your books. I was here at the con last time, and I heard you talking, but I didn't come up and meet you, and blah, blah, blah. And I looked your books up on Amazon. I bought them, and they actually brought them in. They says, you know, read all three of them, loved them, wanted to come out here and say, you know, say hi, shake your hand. And I'm like, and the whole time I'm acting all cool. All I wanted to do was cry. I mean, it was like, wow,
yeah.
this is pretty damned. So at least I know one other person other than myself digs those books. And it was humbling more than anything else. It actually kind of brings you back down to the ground and makes you realize what you've done. So, Granny, my advice would be, in the event you get a table, don't be shy. I would do it. And because,
well,
you'd be amazed at how many people you affect.
I mean, shy is definitely one thing that I am not, Dave Atwell. I mean, I do not know a stranger. I mean, you should have seen Anthony. You know, somebody would say something to me, or like, you know, like those guys from Ireland, you know, when they saw me again in my granny shirt, they wanted a picture with me, you know, in my granny shirt. And Anthony's telling Brian and David, and he starts moving his hands on each side of his head like, oh, there she goes again, getting that inflated ego. And it's not an inflated ego. I mean, I'm very humbled by the fact that people recognized me Thursday night even without me being in my granny shirt. I put this one guy,
right,
this one wrestler, I put him in a headlock, and they took a picture of me putting him in a headlock, and then I got one picture of me standing there with my fist up, and he's got his arm back like he's going to hit me, and I'm standing there with both of my fist up like I'm going to hit him. And I wasn't even in character. I wasn't even in my granny shirt, you know, but they knew who I was. You know, it was like,
right.
And I saw my one friend, Dean Fleming. He actually lives in Dallas. And, of course, I got so happy to see him. I said, oh, my God. I said, I want to tell you, Dean Fleming. I said, I do not like your roads in Dallas. And he says, well, I don't like them either, Granny, and I live here. I said,
yeah,
if I was the drinking type of person, which occasionally, you know, I might have a nice glass of wine with dinner or something if I'm at a nice dinner or whatever, you know. But I tell you, driving those roads in Dallas would have been enough to make me go to the store and get a nice bottle of wine or something there and go back to the hotel and just chill out for the evening. Yeah, you talk about you're always drinking your beer. Well, you know, I was like, after driving those roads in Dallas like I did, like, okay. But I had time to, like, relax and breathe and, you know, enjoy the wrestling show. But it was kind of weird because this one match, they had a tag team. And it was like the traditional wrestlers, which could be considered like the heels, and the control your narrative wrestlers, which would be like, you basically kind of cheered for whoever you wanted to cheer for, boo whoever you wanted to boo. It wasn't like a normal wrestling, because I asked one of the guys who worked there, I said, well, who am I supposed to cheer? And who? Because the one guy that I know that was on the one team, Tino Valentino, I know him from when he's come to Oklahoma and wrestled for WFC. Well, he's always the babyface. Well, he was on the traditional wrestling team, which would be considered the heels. And I'm like, okay, I can't boo him, but I might boo the other guys that's on his team, but because I like Tino. But it was kind of weird because I asked Will Alday, I said, who am I supposed to cheer for and who am I supposed to boo? And he's, well, you cheer and boo whoever you want to. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. I mean, it was a good show. I enjoyed it. But it was just different the way they did it, you know.
Right.
But it was cool, you know. But, you know, like I said, just to see the expression on Anthony's face, but when he got his picture taken with Eddie Edwards, just like, did a selfie with him. I mean, that just, like, made his day. And, you know, getting to – and, you know, he said even though he didn't get to see Lita in person and get to – you know, he talked to her and she kind of acknowledged him and winked at him. And when we got our picture with Lillian Garcia, her banner was in the background. So he says, I'm cool with that, Mom, you know. And I know Lita's going to be at a con thing in September down in Little Rock. And I said, well, maybe I can take you down there and, you know, you can meet Lita that way. But you know, he was okay. But Jeff Hardy was just, he was so sincere. He was so nice. I mean, just gave me a hug and, you know, said, God bless you and your family, Granny, you know, and told me that I had a very nice young man for a son. And that, you know, of course, that made Mama feel really proud, you know. That was
absolutely
a proud mom moment, you know. But it just, but just getting to see my wrestling family that I haven't gotten to see for a while and get to see professional wrestlers that I normally would not get to see except for something like this. It was really cool. It was really awesome.
That's, and you know, when it comes to, and you hit the nail on the head when you said family, because I know with us, you know, we're, I've done, God, it's probably been 2 years since I've done a con. And though I keep up with my con family on Facebook and all that kind of good stuff, I miss the hanging out and seeing everybody. You know, and that was the good thing with doing the cons is that, you know, you kind of counted on 3-4 times a year, you're able to see these folks and just yuck it up with them for a weekend. And then, you know, Monday morning you wake up and you're back to being Dave again. So it does a lot for your, does a lot for your heart. And like you said about Anthony, that was, that's the biggest thing. I'll never forget the first ex-con we went to in Myrtle Beach. Rob was, I think Rob was probably about 13, 14 years old. And there was a bunch of people dressed up, I think it was Halo, or no, it was Gears of War, the game. And Rob says, Rob stops and he says, Rob says, hang on a sec, guys.
Okay. So, but yeah, it was an interesting weekend, Tim. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm glad we had the opportunity to go to that, you know, to do something like that with my friend. I mean,
yeah.
Because this has been, it's been like 3 years since he'd been to WrestleMania because of COVID and everything like that. And he says he wasn't going to go, but when he found out it was going to be in Dallas and we were so close to Dallas, because, see, he's been wanting to take me to a WrestleMania for years anyways. And this was just the perfect opportunity for us to get to go, you know. So
I'm still stuck on the Pat McAfee thing, to be quite honest. Pat McAfee, he tries to get himself involved just by anything he can. And even when he was a punter, I don't know if you're aware of his NFL history. He was a punter for the Colts, but he was a very, very well-known punter. He had a lot of passion, I'll put it that way. And there's even a scene that you'll see pop up on YouTube every once in a while of him full-blown, just because there was a guy that was running back a punt on the opposing team, and he basically got through everyone. And as you know, the kicker, the punter, is a lot of times the last resort. And I'll be damned if Pat McAfee didn't just go and lay the guy out. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, that was the punter. You know, and then after that, he's kind of like, you know, giving himself props for being the punter and putting laying this guy out. But, yeah, I mean, ever since then, he's done stand-up comedy. He's got a podcast. You just see him pop up everywhere else. So I thought that was funny. I was telling Kim while I was on mute, and she's like, yes, I know. He did WrestleMania. I was like, well, crap, I guess I'm the last one to know that. So I think that's funny.
But, you know, like I said, if you guys want, I can share that video, you know, with you guys if you want, you know, so you guys can watch it if you want to or whatever. But it was
sure.
It was really cool. I mean, they talked to a lot of people that day. They talked to a lot of wrestling stars that day. I mean, I haven't really sat down and taken time to watch the whole video, you know, but it was pretty cool. I mean, and I was really surprised. I mean, because they were talking to this one guy, and they turned around, they saw me, some of my shirt. They said, "Oh man, can we interview you?" I'm like, "Sure," you know. So I'll let them do their thing, you know. But it was a lot of fun, and you know, getting to do something like that. I mean, like I said, if you're a wrestling fan and you've never had the opportunity to go to a WrestleMania, you know, you need to do it at least once. I don't know if I'll ever get back to, you know, because my friend Brian's already said that if they do another WrestleMania Madison Square Garden, he says he wants me to come to New York. So, you know, I've never been to New York, but, you know, so who knows, you know, so we'll see what happens. But it was a fun weekend. I mean, and really, and surprisingly enough, guys, you know, Brian and Anthony and David, for the most part, were pretty good. I mean, they didn't give me too much grief. I mean, they gave me a little here and there, you know, teased me a little here and there. But for the most part, those boys were on their best behaviors. So, which was really kind of shocking.
Yeah. Heck, car ride alone, my kids, I lose my kids for a couple
because
hours.
I know how you guys like to roast me. I know how you guys like to tease Granny, you know, and everything. But for the most part, they were pretty good. I got something to share with you, kind of funny about the hotel experience. You know, my friend took his air mattress with him, you know, because he has allergies and deals with sensitive skin, you know. So he took his air mattress with him, and we'd been there. We checked in Thursday afternoon, and it was Friday, I think it was, and we came back after being gone all day, and room hadn't been cleaned yet, no towels, no washcloths, you know. And so there was two women that were, they were Hispanic women, they were cleaning the room. Well, they claimed they didn't know English. And my friend, he knows Spanish. Well, long story short, they called the manager, and they told the manager there was stuff all over both of the beds, which there wasn't anything on the beds. You know, they mentioned something about the air mattress. And in so many words, they mentioned our room number and basically, excuse my language, but they called me a witch with a B, you know. I mean, called me, you know. So I went up to the office, and I talked to the one guy that was working in the office, and I said, "Well, I'm just telling you what the manager told me." I said, "Well, they lied to the manager, because I said there was nothing on those other two beds." So what my friend did was Saturday, when we were gone all day, he deflated the air mattress, folded it up, put it on top of the clothes rack, you know, by where the bathroom, you know, near the bathroom, where the, you know, the little entryway where the sink was, you know, leading into the bathroom and stuff. We got it out of the way, and so they could go in, and, you know, and they came in and cleaned and swept the floor, you know, and stuff like that. And but we had to pretty much ask for towels every day we were there, which, you know, but like I told the guy, so I went in, I guess, Saturday morning. I went up there, and it was actually the manager that was working the front desk, and I said, I told him what happened. I said, "I don't know if you're the manager, who the man," and he's, "Well, I'm the manager." I said, "Well, your people lied to you yesterday," and I said, "They called me a not-so-nice name, and I don't appreciate being called that type of name." I said, now, if we come back tonight and our room is not cleaned, somebody's going to hear about it tomorrow morning. Well, you know, like I said, it was clean. You know, they cleaned it and stuff. But it just, you know, it's the principle of the matter, guys, you know? I mean, when you got four people sharing a motel room and you haven't got but one towel and one washcloth, it's kind of hard to, you know, kind of hard to do what you got to do to take showers, you know, when you got four people and you only got one towel and one washcloth, you know, so. But other than that, you know, I mean, the little hiccups, you know, with the motel room, the trip was fun. I mean, I'm glad we went. I'm glad we had the opportunity to go, and it was a lot of fun, and, you know, Anthony had a good time, and David had fun, and, you know, because David does not like big crowds of people, so I'm really proud of him that he did as well as he did, because he doesn't like big crowds of people, you know.
Most of us don't.
Anthony really doesn't either, so I'm really proud of him that he did as good as he did, too. Of course, I think with Anthony, just to get to see all those people, all those big-time names, I don't think he was even thinking about other people around him. You know what I'm saying? He was just focused, zoned in on, like, oh, okay, I'm going to get to meet Lillian Garcia. I'm going to get to meet Jeff Hardy. I'm going to get to meet Brooke Hogan. I'm going to get to meet Lex Luger. I'm going to get to see Ricky and Robert again. I'm going to get to see Jim Duggan again, you know. But when he got his picture with Austin Aries and Eddie Edwards, that was just a really big thing for him. Him and Austin Aries are like doing like a handshake thing, like, which is really cool. And they were, you know, standing next to each other, and it was just, he made, him and Austin and Jeff made Anthony feel really special. And Rikishi, he is an advocate for autism as well. And I told Rikishi about Anthony, you know, being diagnosed with the autism thing. And he says, well, you know, I'm, you know, God bless you, Granny, and I hope that, you know, you can get Anthony the help that he needs. And, you know, we're working on trying to do what we can to help people like Anthony, you know. And I just thought that was really cool that Rikishi just took the time to make Anthony feel special, too. I mean, it's kind of funny, Anthony, when Brian told Anthony about talking to Jimmy and Jay, Anthony says, wow, two-thirds of the bloodline knows who Granny Hulkster is. Oh, my God, you know. But like I said, it was a fun time, guys. I mean, it was a fun weekend.
Awesome.
So that is in a nutshell Granny's WrestleMania weekend, you know, and WrestleCon weekend.
That sounds pretty cool. Heck yeah. And I saw, I was able to see some of those pictures. Sounds like a fun trip, man. Cool.
Well, I didn't really keep track of how many pictures I took, because I know some of the pictures I had to delete because some of them turned out a little bit blurry. But really, all in all, when I took pictures from the big screen at the stadium at WrestleMania, they turned out pretty decent. I mean, you know, I got some really cool pictures of the fire coming up, you know, when Undertaker came out to thank everybody, you know, to thank all the fans, you know. You know, he was the main inductee at the Hall of Fame this year, and he gave, my gosh, they let him talk Friday night at the Hall of Fame ceremony. They let him talk almost an hour at the Hall of Fame ceremony Friday night after Raw. So anybody that was in attendance at Raw Friday night at American Airlines Center there in Dallas actually got to stay for the Hall of Fame ceremony. So, pretty cool.
Gang. Granny, it was wonderful. I'm glad you guys had a blast. Unfortunately, what I'm going to have to do, I am having a major plumbing emergency here in the house.
Oh, no.
Yes. You know, 10:30 at night, can't get the water to quit running in the shower, and seeing that plumbing and electricity are my two weakest attributes when it comes down to home improvement. The foul language is about to kick in, so I better go ahead and cut the show off.
Well, definitely understandable that we have to cut this off short then. But, you know, basically that was because I'm really running out of things to say, guys. So this might be a good spot to end it.
But my apologies.
Yeah,
we're going to have to
we're an extra inning anyway, so it's all good.
Absolutely. We'll get the British lady in here. Maybe she knows a little something about plumbing and could help the brother out. Regardless, and the bad news is it's storming outside, so it makes it even better. So, at any rate, here goes my evening. Hope everybody had a wonderful, and Granny Hulkster, well done, young lady. We appreciate it.
Thank you, holding
everything tonight, and I appreciate the report, and glad you guys all had a great time and everything. So, not to cut
you
it
enjoyed
short,
having the night. Day. You enjoyed having the night off, Dave, I know.
I was doing fine about 5 minutes ago, man. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, shit, here it goes. You know, if it's going to go to hell, it goes to hell on Wednesday night. But nevertheless, guys, thank
Dave,
you,
I'm,
and I appreciate
you. I'm laughing with you, man, because I'm laughing with you because it normally happens to me. I think I told you all about the dishwasher episode, so I won't go into detail.
Yeah.
You got to fix what you got to fix. So
never fails. And there's no cutoff switch.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm going to have to see my house was built shortly after Gettysburg. So, yeah, good times. Anyhow, guys, I appreciate the understanding. Appreciate everybody out there listening. And we hope everybody has a wonderful, safe week. And thanks again for listening. Pop Culture Stars. Happy plumbing, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Talk to you later.
Good night, everybody.
Stay safe out
British
there.
Ladies.